Hello, this is Pastor Rock Dilliman with another installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. As you've heard me say before, this week's readings do not contain one single direct reference to the person of the Holy Spirit. But just like last week's readings in the book of Exodus, this week's reading assignment does contain yet another type, symbolic portrayal of the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, and it's found in chapter 29. We're going to look at that in just a moment, but before we do, I want to consider the view from 30,000 feet. And I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. As we've noted often, Paul made it clear in the New Testament that all Scripture is God-breathed. It has its origin in the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And since this week's readings contain great detailed instructions, highly detailed instructions about civil law, about court practices, about justice, about sacrifices, etc., 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 that content reminds us that there are no small, insignificant matters where the Holy Spirit is concerned. The detail of the Spirit's instructions to the people of Israel reminds us that the small things in life really are not small things, that virtually everything in our life and in our relationships has significance. And Scripture bears that out because we're warned that it is the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. Small things, if we are careless with them, can easily spoil our devotion to God and our walk with God. And the reason why I say that so is because disobedience in what we would consider to be a small matter, a matter of insignificance, still provides our adversary with an opening. And even a small opening can be translated into a large setback and disaster. Karen and I recently have been involved in selling our now deceased daughter's home. And in preparation for the sale, as you know, we had to have a home inspection. And the home inspection found a small leak in the bedroom closet. When a roofer examined the building to see the source of that leak, he found a small hole, only about a half inch in length, in one of the shingles. It had been the result of the roofers stepping on a loose roofing nail and pressing the head of that nail into the shingle, creating that very tiny opening. But through that tiny opening, water gained access into the home and into the bedroom closet. And it was an easy fix once it was discovered, but if it had not been fixed, if the opening had been allowed to remain, over time it could have caused serious damage. Now, I share that to illustrate the fact that a small opening in our life through disobedience in what we consider a small, maybe even insignificant matter, still provides a point of access, an opening for principalities and powers that want to bring destruction into our life. And one of the reasons why that's the case is because behind small disobedience, is the same spirit that produces large disobedience. That's why you don't find God referring to major disobedience and minor disobedience. You don't find God referring to little white lies. You don't find God referring to disobedience in trivial matters. Because God understands all disobedience comes from the same spirit. And it's that spirit that provides the enemy an opening. So, our first point this week, our readings in Exodus make it clear that God is very concerned about small things. God is very concerned about the details of our life because He knows disobedience in what we consider to be a small thing can quickly lead to disobedience in big things because it provides an opening for our adversaries. And while the readings in Exodus don't say that directly, the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired those writings about the details of life clearly indicates that when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, He is going to focus in on what we consider to be small things. He wants to get into the details of your life, not because He likes to intrude, but because He wants to create holiness. And until we deal with little things as well as big things, we can't truly be as holy as God intended. So, when you walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit, expect Him to meddle in the details of your life. I think that's a Holy Spirit takeaway from our readings in Exodus. Now let's get to chapter 9, where I said there is a clear reference to what we call a type or a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 29, that talks about the consecration of Aaron and his sons to be the priests of Israel. Verse 7 says, "Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him." All throughout Scripture, oil is a type or a symbol of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. That is a consistent symbolism from Genesis to Revelation. Oil symbolizes the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why the kings of Israel had to be anointed. It's why the priests of Israel had to be anointed. It's why the prophets of Israel had to be anointed with oil. Because it was God's way of saying, no one can lead, no one can prophesy, and no one can carry out a priestly function apart from the empowering of the Holy Spirit and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. So in ancient Israel, prophets, priests, and kings always had to be anointed with oil. It was a symbolic act that testified to a spiritual reality. Leadership, service, prophesying, impossible without the empowering and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And what does that have to do with us? Well, we know from Peter and others that in the new covenant established by Jesus, every believer is a priest of God. There is no select class of priests within the New Covenant Church. Peter said, we are a royal priesthood, and he was writing to all believers. We are a royal priesthood. So in the New Covenant, Every believer is a priest. How so, you might ask? Priests essentially have two functions. One is manward, one is Godward. Priests represent God to men, and priests represent men to God. Let me say that again. Priests represent God to men, and they represent men to God. How do we represent God to men? Well, we represent God to men by A, declaring His gospel, and B, ministering to other people according to that gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we share the liberating gospel of Christ, we are representing God to people. When we do acts of loving service in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Christ, we are representing God to people. We are showing people the heart of God, the grace of God, the love of God. When we witness, whether through word or deed, we are representing God to humanity. That's one aspect of being a priest. Every believer is called to that. The other aspect, representing men to God. You might say, Pastor, how can I represent people to God? One word answer: prayer. When believers pray, and in their prayers, they carry the needs of other people into the throne room of God, by that act, that priestly act, they are representing men to God. So when you pray for your unsaved neighbor, an unsaved coworker, an unsaved family member, you are quite literally carrying their needs into the throne room of God, the throne of grace and mercy. You are, in a very real sense, bringing them before God Himself. And you're representing that person and representing that person's need before God. And that is also something that we have been commissioned to do. So when Peter says to all believers, you are a royal priesthood, he was saying, we represent God to men by our witness, and we represent men to God by our intercessory prayers. That's how you function as God's royal priesthood. So two things in conclusion to that truth. One, Peter's clear teaching establishes beyond the shadow of a doubt the fact that there is not a set-apart priesthood in the New Covenant Church. It's true that some are called to be pastors, teachers. Some are called to be evangelists. Some are called to be apostles. But there is no set-apart priesthood. Quite the contrary, every born-again follower of Jesus is a member of God's New Covenant royal priesthood. We're all called to represent men to God and represent God to men. The second takeaway, you cannot do that effectively. You cannot pray effectively. You cannot witness effectively unless you do so in the empowering and enabling of the Holy Spirit, unless you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the most powerful affirmation of that fact is the historical fact that Jesus Himself did not launch His public ministry of representing God to men and representing men to God, he didn't launch that ministry until after his baptism. And what happened at his baptism? The anointing, the empowering of the Holy Spirit came upon him. So, embedded in all of that detailed narrative of Exodus are many, many, many truths. But embedded in that detailed narrative are two essential truths about the Holy Spirit. One, the Holy Spirit cares about the smallest details of our life, because small acts of disobedience provide large openings for our adversaries. And two, we are called to be God's priests. We cannot do that without the Spirit's empowering, without the Spirit's enabling. So as I've said previously, and as I will say again, since the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture, you can expect to find evidence of His work and His person all throughout Scripture, even where He is not mentioned directly. So watch for the Holy Spirit in the little details. The little details. And seek the Holy Spirit as you carry out your priestly calling. And have a great week serving the Lord.